Yeah, Tone, but you're a Browns fan.
I think we're all Browns fans. We're all together. And if they win this Sunday, oh boy.
Can I also say this before we launch into this? You guys are going to listen at 7:45. I did something as dumb as I've ever done in my entire life yesterday, and it will be one of the most memorable FMLs you've ever heard in your entire life. In the history of the show, that we haven't had FML for that long, it will be one of the most interesting FMLs you've ever listened to, and one of the most memorable. Lima knows. Lima's told nobody. Owen does not know. Mitch does not know. Lima, will this be one of the most satisfying FMLs at 7:45?
I'm a little nervous about. I appreciate your vulnerability over this.
I am a little bit nervous as well because I don't want anybody to dig and test, and then all of a sudden I'm in more trouble than what I already am.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
You had my interest. Now you have my attention.
Yes, I do, and you will hear it at 7:45. So I heard we had the arguments. What was that, Monday? We had that argument. That was a good argument, by the way. Well done.
That was a little Monday, a little Tuesday.
A little bit of A, a little
and
bit
guess
of B.
What day it is?
It's Wednesday. So
here
you know,
we go again.
We got to put together our game plan, and we put together those, and off we go. Which, by the way, we will be talking about Ohio State later on because the pressure is just suffocating on Ryan Day and James Franklin coming up in this football game on Saturday. However, should Jameis get the chance to be the long-term starter? Thought about this. There was a tweet by Sam Block I saw this morning when I woke up. 33rd Team put it out there. They're one of those websites that followed us all to get all their people on our shows, and then they went bye-bye. Anyway, but he had a laundry list of quarterbacks 25 and younger, guys who have been taken over the last 3 years who were already benched, guys who were already fighting for their lives in the NFL. And there's this problem, I think there is, where, you know, some people have highlighted there's a developmental problem in the NFL. Now you and I discussed yesterday on the phone the middle class. Let's hold off on that for just a second. The middle class of quarterbacks, hold off on that. Because I really think, Anthony, that this is something that we got to talk about, and we're going to continue to talk about here over the next couple of months, depending on how this season goes. And really, I got to tell you, like, there is a tinge in me that looks at what this football team has been and what these draft classes has been, and I'm going, he's only 30. He'll be 31 next year. I go, what if he has a tremendous year for the rest of this year? You know, he was a former number one overall pick. What if we got our guy like that? You know, you see what Sam Darnold has done to start this year at Minnesota. Baker has been, I mean, they throw the ball constantly. I know they're only 4-4 down there, and some of it's cooled off a little bit. But I don't think that it's his fault down there in Tampa Bay by any means necessary. I mean, they throw the ball like crazy. He's got to be having a blast down there. And I'm thinking, all right, you got him down there. And then we got this fella. And he was great on Sunday. And I know it's one game, but that's what I'm saying. It's only a tinge. It's not a prevailing thought of going, guys, we need to make Jameis the full-time starter and the long-term starter. It's not that. But there is a tinge that I hope in the back of my mind, like, hey, could that be a conversation that we have maybe, you know, after the Steelers game on that Thursday Night Football on November 21st, we come in here. Or maybe that's still a little bit too soon. That's a month away, and you play three games in that time. You will have played four games with him overall. Maybe it's after Kansas City on December 15th. You know, maybe you come in the next day, and they played well, maybe they lost. You go, you know what? Jameis might be the guy. I don't know about any of these guys coming out in this draft. Maybe Jameis should just be our guy for the foreseeable future. What, can we throw a Baker Mayfield type of contract at this guy? Am I the only one who has a little bit of tinge? Not like it has to happen yet, but is there something in the back of my mind, something there that maybe hopes that he could be that guy that can be a decent enough starter with Kevin Stefanski as his head coach, maybe Ken Dorsey as the offensive coordinator? I still don't know how much. I don't know how much I put into it overall, but I mean, do you have any of that hope at all, Tone? In the play calling, I mean. I don't know how much I put in play calling overall.
I've never had that with Jameis, which is why I was so interested that it just took one game in which it was the full gamut of the Jameis experience. They just didn't – the interceptions didn't go in the tally, you know, in the box score as interceptions. But it was the Jameis quintessential game where he was so much fun to watch. He was – it was Joe Flacco-esque. He was all of a sudden – receivers who probably around the league people had never heard of. They're like, who's that guy? Who's Cedric Tillman?
Yeah.
Elijah Moore. Wait, he's still playing? Wasn't he a second round pick at one point? Even Jerry Jeudy got in on it. Like, everybody was touching the football. And then he also had three of the worst passes you've ever seen. Like, kind of like, you know, the Joe Flacco pick sixes. These were pop-ups for you to intercept. They were the easiest interceptions ever. And they dropped them and you won the game. And I saw this kind of trickle of fans start to go, why not? Just like you said, why not? And it's year 11 for Jameis. And what I have, I'll be honest, I probably haven't been all that fair to Jameis. I've probably just been kind of looking at his career going, all right, we've already checked him off and moved on as a guy that can really start in the NFL for a big time team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what, now, to be fair, I did that to Baker Mayfield too. And Baker Mayfield is putting up great numbers. He's on a 500 team. Not all his fault. His receivers are now down. It's going to be tough for him. But again, Baker's fun to watch. He has thrown a ton of touchdowns this year. And now the interceptions and the bad plays are starting to creep up because he's pressing, they're losing, and he has to do more stuff.
It's like, man.
So I've put Jameis in that category. I've kind of checked him off mentally as a starter on a team looking to contend. So is that unfair to me? Can he, in year 11, well, next year would be year 12, can he turn that around in the right system?
I don't know.
Can he be a managed quarterback too?
I think he's in
too?
His 10th season this year.
Okay.
Jameis. Sorry, just for...
But can he, is safe. He that guy that can do that, or is his career arc already written? We have seen Geno Smith change that, but Geno didn't have the starts. So Geno is still a bit of a mystery. Jameis really isn't a mystery. He was a guy who always took a ton of sacks, made a lot of great throws, and then back-breaking decisions where you're like, well, he. And then there were some leadership questions. And I know that's crazy right now because all we do is play his quotes, and everyone's like, that's leadership. It's not leadership for everybody. Kind of going over that. That some guys, that goes in one ear
can
out the other.
Can he be a leader as a starter, though? Can he be that guy
as
a starter?
That's a good question.
You know, that has to be thought
of. Or is he
of.
Still too immature? Like the things that we know that he's on record doing both on the field and off, is that a mature guy? Now, we question that about Baker. Baker seems to have matured in a hurry.
Yes. I mean, again, when you get from 20 to 30, there's so many things that change. I mean, your frontal lobe doesn't even develop until you're 25, for crying out loud, for a male. So now he's 30 years old. You know, I'm just thinking out loud here. Like we just started this odyssey with this guy, but man, I'm looking at this. I'm going, yeah, you know, I think people see this, and there's points and counterpoints here because I find this, and you know, say this again. This tweet: Anthony Richardson, 22; Bryce Young, 23; Trey Lance, 24; Justin Fields, 25; Will Levis, Zach Wilson, all 25; Mac Jones and Kenny Pickett are 26. Says they're all benched. And then this person who's just a regular fan who goes, well, you know, there is Caleb Williams, who's 22, Jaden Daniels, C.J. Stroud, who are 23, Brock Purdy, Bo Nix, Trevor Lawrence, who's 24, Jordan Love is 25, Jalen Hurts, Justin Herbert, Tua Tagovailoa, who are 26, Joe Burrow, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, they're all 27, they're all starters. And it's the point-counterpoint of development, or some guys are just being drafted and they just can't make it in the NFL. Where it's now it's a bigger guessing game than it's ever been. Before there was a quote-unquote prototype. Is there a prototype anymore for the quarterback position in the NFL? I don't think there is.
I think the prototype is they all have to be able to run, which seems like all the young guys, that's
basically
what they want.
But Jameis isn't a runner.
And no, but all the young guys. All the guys, remember, he's drafted 10 years
ago. You're right. But I wonder, I go, well, just knowing that he can put the ball on a wide receiver and still move the ball through the air, and that he's best protected where? From the pocket. He's sturdiest where? In the pocket. He doesn't take a lot of hits like we had before. He got rid of the ball on Sunday. Now, things change. It was 1 week, right? So that's why this is all premature. It's a seed that's planted, and I don't know if it's going to grow. But it does make me start to think. I go, hey, 30, 31 years old, veteran here, if I'm not in love with this class, if I'm not in love with one person, it only takes one person from the class, depending on where you're at. Well, can that guy be that guy for you? Well, if you're in a position to still draft in the top three, Jameis ain't going to be that guy for you. If you all of a sudden end up 11th in the order of drafting, well, maybe you want to go after a tackle. Maybe you want to go after a wide receiver. Maybe you want to make some moves and stockpile some draft choices for the future in case Jameis were to go belly up.
Yeah,
but you also have to sign Jameis for a contract that's going to be of some decent size if he ends up playing that well.
And you're guaranteeing the starting job if you do this, right?
Yes.
You have to.
Because, well, I think whoever it's going to be next year is going to be probably guaranteed the starting job. Because, I just can't see Deshaun Watson playing for this football team ever again.
Okay, so what was it? 2 weeks ago, I famously said, sometimes these things work their way out. And I told you it wasn't a very sophisticated take. With Jameis, won't that happen here? Like, if Jameis all of a sudden isn't throwing all those interceptions,
he'll be an abomination at some point.
No, but what
or he would be.
Well, if he is an abomination at some point, then they're not giving him a starting job for next year. They're not gifting him that. If
and they're drafting somebody.
If it's 30 for 30 Jameis, the Browns will rule him out. No? Are they just going to buy themselves a year when Myles Garrett is at the stage he's at, Wyatt Teller's the stage he's at, Joel Batonio, like all the same questions we went into at the beginning of the year.
Well, you mean buy themselves a year just like with Jameis next year, you're saying?
You're not winning a Super Bowl with Jameis, right?
No.
So,
I don't think so.
To a lot of fans, unless if he has a Joe Flacco-like run here, will fans talk themselves into he can make a Super Bowl run?
Yes. Especially if they don't trust
the quarterbacks. What if he has
the
playoff game that Joe Flacco had?
No.
So will
they want to bring him back, though. They don't want to make the same mistake twice. I mean, Joe's playing again in Indianapolis.
So if that was
against, I think everybody would.
If it follows the Joe Flacco script to a T, will people be excited about next season? Here's Jameis. We saw how the season ended. And, oh, yeah, by the way, here comes Deshaun Watson. Like, how are fans going to feel about that?
Is Deshaun his backup?
Whatever it is, whatever the role is, does that feel like you're punting on a season waiting for the next quarterback?
I think if Deshaun goes back to being the starter and it's like, hey, we've retained Jameis Winston, but Jameis is going to be the backup, I think people are going to go, what the bleep are we doing here? I think you will have more just farting in their general direction as you've ever had with the fan base. I think the fan base was downtrodden to begin with this year. I don't think you can run that back again. What's left in that tank, Anthony? There's nothing there.
Okay, what about the other part of it is, Jameis is coming back. We're signing him to a contract. 2 years, but only so much guaranteed. And Deshaun Watson may not be ready at the start of training camp, may not be ready at the start of the regular season, but he'll be the number two.
Okay.
How are fans on that? If it ended the same way that it ended with Joe Flacco.
I think in terms, well, they go to the playoffs this year?
Yeah, they go on a magical run.
Oh, jeez.
They go to the playoffs.
They are 2-6.
But then he's Jameis Winston in the playoffs.
And I think you're walking me into a trap of what I was saying yesterday, but they are 2-6. It's still an improbable run. If they get to the playoffs
we had the improbable run last year.
Then that's what I'm saying. It's going to be a magical run back to the playoffs there. So I think that they would find themselves plenty excited. He has to play well to win these games.
Yeah,
I mean, you have to play well against Kansas City. You have to play well against Denver in Denver. You have to play well. I don't know what Miami's going to be, and I know Miami historically, since I was a little kid, has been terrible in December, but you have to play well against those teams. So he will have played well enough by that time if they get to the playoffs where people are like, yeah, sure, sign me up.
The funny thing is they'd be because then going into Houston or going into Buffalo.
Because by that time, it's not just Jameis or Player X. It's Jameis or moving way up in the draft for Player X. And I think that people have no problem talking themselves out of this draft class with quarterbacks. I actually like a couple of these guys. Actually, I like three of them. But I know that not three of them are going to all make it in the NFL. And I think fans know that. They want that guy. If they don't believe that they can get that guy, yeah, they'll sign up for another year with Jameis. They're not going to want to sign up for another year with Deshaun Watson. No. Mm-mm.
Now the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
Folks, we may have a World Series after all. We'll get into that in just a few moments. But first, we start out with Jameis Winston prepping for his first start, second start with the Cleveland Browns, and Good Morning Football. He's making the rounds. If he's doing Good Morning Football, what's next, Kenny? Are we going to see Jameis in a whole bunch of commercials? Are we going to see him all over the place? I mean, think about this. It's just after one game.
Yeah.
After one game. Well, Jameis had this to say on the talk of Jameis as a big-time leader. Does it even matter if he's a starter?
You can only be who you are. And whatever position you're in, whatever circumstances, conditions, or facts that you're facing, you have to show up and be who you are every single day. Because I know guys pay attention to that and guys respect that.
So we have obviously talked to Ronnie McLeod about this on a few different situations, because I was like, is this stuff really, really soaking in? Ronnie says yes. He is a tremendous leader, a tremendous orator. I heard Diana Russini on a show yesterday, and she's like, he needed to have a good game. Now that he had a good game, Jameis can be Jameis and get a buy-in. She's like, it was kind of hollow before he actually won a big game. It's interesting to see. That pretty much means exactly what you'd think it would mean. That not everybody is in love with guys that talk all the time. Jameis talks all the time.
Yep.
But he backed it up. He backed it up with a big win against a really good team and in a desperate situation. So that is how you accrue some followers, right?
Yeah, it is. I would say that, again, you have to play to be able to lead in that fashion. And like in the pros, man, you say these things, and I do think there's guys who want to buy in. They might buy in because they think that you should be starting, or you just got to play. You got to be one of the guys that are out there all the time, because a backup quarterback, you know, you can be a special teamer and be a leader, because you're going to get on the field in an NFL game. There's nobody other than backup quarterbacks who don't get on the field. You're going to hit the field in some fashion, because they need everybody. If you're active, there's only 46 of you. You're going to hit it. And so I think that that matters to a lot of players there. Now that he's a starter, we can see where his leadership takes him.
I mean, they have him mic'd up before games, even when he wasn't playing. So how many guys in the NFL are mic'd up when they're not even playing? So, and he obviously embraces it. He embraces it to the fullest. Like, there's some guys maybe wouldn't be comfortable with that. He clearly is.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited about this week, because in backing it up, and it invokes a conversation that was had on the afternoon show yesterday that I think we can talk about too. Like, all of a sudden your receivers look good again. Is that because of Jameis?
Sounds like we're going to talk about that at 6:40, Tone.
No, we will get to that. Meanwhile, baseball, the Yankees are still alive, trying to fight, scratch, claw their way back into the World Series against the Dodgers yesterday. Well, there was some nice back and forth up until the eighth inning, when the Yankees were able to get a grand slam. Meanwhile, big controversy in the game. Apparently, the fans trying to get a little greedy, getting a baseball in foul territory. Here's the call on Fox.
Fly to right by Torres. Betts in the corner. Does he have room? Fights with the fan. And they're going to say that it's an out and fan interference. Betts has that ball in his glove, and this fan literally tries to take his glove off. A for effort.
Well, he won't be watching the game much longer.
He ripped it out, audio courtesy of Fox. He literally is laughing as he's ripping the ball out of his mitt.
Just trying to help the team.
The umpire came right down and obviously saw all of it, so there was no ambiguity there. Does he need to get ejected, Kenny? He's at home.
Well, yeah,
he's a Yankee fan.
Yeah,
both of them were ejected, him and his friend.
I thought you meant Mookie Betts was ejected, too.
That'd be funny.
Out of there too.
Hey, you're on the road. Sorry, Mookie. You were trying to take a ball from a paid fan.
His buddy's reaching. Get your hand on that ball.
Okay, question. It is a World Series game.
This guy resembles a Chip Chipperson in real life. I'm sorry.
He's got a great
watch this.
He's got a great look.
He is such a chippa.
And unfortunately, the slow-mo, and I got it paused right now, it's not flattering to him and his neck. He's just really, this is the most work this guy has put in, I think, in 15 years into anything in his life, was to take this ball out, and he's got this smirk afterwards. So question is, it's a World Series game. I mean, they have the technology. They could ban this guy, and he could never be at a Yankee game again. If that's his last memory of going to a game, it's a World Series. Was it worth it?
Yeah, what the hell? Did he get to keep the ball? I don't think he got to keep the ball.
No.
Well, the ball went back.
Yeah, the ball went back, and I don't think Betts was going back and forth with
him. Does Betts throw it back? Did they chant throw it back, and he throws it back to the stand?
Some of those guys have those tricks before games where some wayward balls end up going into the stands a little harder than they're supposed to, and I'm like, oh, what did somebody say? Somebody said something. Either way, come on, Mitch, defend this. This is it's a Yankee fan.
I mean, look, you said it before. He's trying to help his team win, trying to get the ball out of Mookie Betts' glove, and I can't defend this. This is not
the reverse Bartman.
It was the bottom of the first inning. I'm sorry. It's the bottom of the first inning.
At least that Dodger fan in game one was just so naive and trying to catch a ball.
I know.
And that was a more impressive catch.
It was the bottom of the first inning.
Now, when it comes to – now, that was a different situation, right?
How much are those seats?
Oh, my God.
What do you think of a
World
thousand
Series
a seat?
Game? And yes. There.
1,000 to watch at top of the first. He watched a half inning and an out. He watched four outs of baseball.
Now, I wonder if the Yankees...
Technically five, because I think his was the second out of the inning.
I wonder if the Yankees' security, whether they're ushers...
No, it was the first out.
And they,
it was the first
better.
Out, you're right.
At the bottom.
That should be the new first pitch. You do that instead.
Oh, my God. I
do wonder if they just...
And the XLB, that's how they'll start the game.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Rip a ball out of a player's glove.
Yeah, to determine who, how many outs you get in the inning.
Yeah.
So do you think there's a chance he got relocated and they were like, hey, put your hat down. Don't be people have seen you on the big screen.
There's
like,
no chance he was relocated.
Do you think they sent him up to a suite?
That is not, they won't even let you wear a mustache or sideburns as a Yankee. That is conduct unbecoming a Yankee. You're allowed to be the owner and dig up dirt on players to get them ran out of town, but you cannot be ripping balls out of guys' gloves. That's unbecoming a Yankee.
Boomer and Gio have to have this guy on today, right?
They have to
find him and they have to put him on the
game. Well, he could reach celebrity status. Can you
just have Sour Shoes calling us a guy.
Kenny, what if they came back and won the World Series? From three down. What if they came back? This guy, then it elevates. That broke the for the Yankees, this long national nightmare.
Yeah. I don't know. People are, I can't believe the goal. Whatever.
When the World
Series.
Thrown
out of the game, we're fine.
When it used to stand for something. When we had decorum.
So, I will say this. I don't want to promote another show at the same time we are on, but Maggie and Perloff, is fan behavior better now or was it better then? I'm like, Mike Milbury went into the stands and beat somebody with his own shoe. Like, we just don't have a 24-hour news cycle. Guys used to fight each other. Like, players would fight fans. And it was
it
a common occurrence.
Ground.
Yes.
They'd go over the fence.
Lincoln Kennedy, someone threw a snowball at him at Arrowhead Stadium. He went into the seats looking for the guy.
You imagine if that guy came into the seats?
You'd be...
Whether it was you or not, you'd be running.
In the words of Peter McNeely, you'd have a big you-know-what in your pants.
So, one last thing quickly. Pretty big Ohio State game as they've got Penn State around the corner in Happy Valley. Now, they've had a lot of problems with the offensive line. They had problems on third down as well, and Ryan Day's had enough.
You know, we have to make sure that we're establishing runs, we're staying effective, and then again, converting on third down, because the more at-bats you have during a drive, the better you're going to be. When you're not converting on third down, you're not keeping drives alive. To go 1-for-10, I mean, that's just unacceptable. So, you know, we're going to keep swinging at it because we got to make sure that we're doing it the right way and making sure that we're winning the rushing yards, and especially in this game, we got to win the turnover battle, we got to win the rushing yards, got to win the X plays, got to go back to the drawing board and figure out what happened in the game, why it didn't get done.
Shut up.
I'd settle for a big win. A big win. Now, they've had success in Happy Valley.
They're going to try to continue to convert on third down. They're not going to just punt on it.
Yeah, I just need a win, obviously.
Shut up and come back when you're Urban Meyer.
All of a sudden, Ohio State, he's opening up his bar and grill downtown Cleveland. It is
Urban has a bar and grill?
It is coming to Cleveland.
I'm
going to
keep my jokes to myself.
So, Ryan Day, they said, even the Homer bloggers down in Columbus yesterday said, Ryan Day is looking a little on edge, and he is desperate, and he better win this game. I mean, can you imagine? Listen, there's no shame in losing to Oregon. I did say that after the game. I didn't go on one of the tirades. I just was like, hey, he's got to win one of these games eventually. But, okay, no shame in losing against Oregon on the road. You did get out-coached in that game. Normally, under normal
Dan
circumstances,
a hell of a coach.
There would not be shame in losing at Happy Valley to Penn State. You're due for a loss there eventually. Problem is, you're out of the Big Ten championship, and you could be on the outside looking in the playoffs.
I mean, a 10-2 Ohio State team can get in the playoffs.
They could, but what's your strength of wins is like non-existent, and then the Indiana game is everything.
I have a fear for people later on. I have a fear for people later on.
All right, that's it for my lesson.
Outstanding as always.
I can't sit here and say that they're all world or anything yet.
I don't know how to put this, and we're friends.
You hate this take.
Well,
go ahead.
What I hate about it is I think you're talking out of both sides of your mouth.
All right, tell me.
If
why?
If Deshaun was the problem and the end-all, be-all problem, you could have put Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and Steve Largent in his prime around Deshaun, and I don't know you would have been any better.
Isn't that what Jonathan's trying to say there? I think that's what they're showing you. I mean, they went out and they traded for Amari Cooper, and they did that before they got Deshaun Watson because they thought they were going to go get Deshaun Watson. Then they went and they got Elijah Moore, and then they went and they got Jerry Jeudy, and then they went and they drafted Cedric Tillman. With the exception of Amari Cooper, all these guys showed up on Sunday.
Yes.
What's that tell you? Isn't that apparent and clear? Like, I just want to wait one more week before I start to say things that I can't take back and won't take back.
Yeah, I mean, if Tillman has another big game, what are we going to be saying about him? That's three in a row.
Yeah.
One with Watson, partially.
It might make me feel a little bit better about Andrew Berry, except, he was, one of the people who want to go out and get the quarterback. That your draft pick wasn't that bad at all. Your quarterback was terrible. I'm sorry, guys. I don't know what the... I don't know what the both sides of the mouth thing is.
Well, all right.
What was Jonathan saying? Or what was he saying that was two-sided?
Nick was saying there was, because he's always been a big believer in these receivers, even Elijah Moore.
Okay.
And for me, that had left,
that's fine.
A year and a half ago.
That's fine.
But all of a sudden, Elijah Moore did look very, very solid.
Yeah.
No, I don't think, truth be told, I don't think any of them looked like we get into the argument all the time about number one. Like, they did look good. I need to see much more to start to talk about a guy as a number one.
Yeah, of course.
Like a definitive number one. I mean, the first Tillman touchdown, now he caught everything, which was great to see, and he did use his physicality towards the end zone to get into the end zone to shed a would-be tackler. But it was a breakdown in coverage. Like, the announcers right afterwards were like, that is a huge breakdown in coverage. Look at all the Ravens are looking at each other. But...
You can always take advantage of breakdowns and coverage.
How many
yeah.
times have guys not caught the ball?
Many.
So, I mean, Amari Cooper, so bizarre, was not catching the football. I thought it was very interesting that it was a one-game situation where I didn't know who to give credit to who. How to give credit to who in different situations. Because they changed so many things all at once. All of a sudden, Nick Chubb... Even though the yards per carry don't say, the people that look at the film were like, oh my God, there were five things Nick Chubb did in that game that looked like old Nick Chubb. Offensive line. Not only was the offensive line really good in protecting Jameis, statistically, all season, they protected him better than any offensive line has protected any quarterback. Okay, Ken Dorsey. First time he's called plays all year. And finally, Jameis Winston. All these are brand new things at once. So yeah. It's hard for me to be like, that's the reason. I think Jameis was the biggest reason. I did say that yesterday. I thought Jameis was the biggest.
I don't want to just team up and beat up on Nick here, but I don't understand. It's clear. I mean, these guys, at least through 1 week, again, Elijah Moore was a missing person. We talked more about his dad's tweets than we did about Elijah Moore himself. Throughout the first part of this season. Then on Sunday?
I don't think his dad tweeted much over the
He didn't
the
last have to. How many times was his son targeted yesterday on Sunday? So you have a quarterback that stands there. I mean, this is just an offense that is more predicated. I mean, maybe, yeah. Like, Josh Allen can take off and run, but he's going to try to throw. Jameis Winston is not really going to take off and run. He's going to try to throw. Joe Flacco, I think we found out last year, was a little more athletic still than what people remembered, but he's going to try to throw. You got to be a throw-first guy. You can't just pull it down and take off. You can't do that. Like, and I don't think any NFL quarterback can do that. Like, one of the big concerns we had about Jaden Daniels coming out was like, man, there's a lot of times at LSU, he's just going to pull it down and he's going to go. He's not looking to make a throw. Like, there was very little times where he'd roll out and there was a threat of him to run and he's dumping it off for a 10-yard gain to a tight end on a cross that extended his route. Like, there's very little of that. Once he was going, he was going. He's doing that different this year. Jameis would maybe escape a little bit and then do it. That's what you needed out of Watson. That's what you brought in Ken Dorsey for. You can run an offense with these guys. You can't run an offense with the other guy. At least you weren't able to at that time. It's clear and simple. And when you have wide receivers who know they're open and know when they're going to get the ball, like Cedric Tillman, I'm open, give me the ball. He caught the ball. I know I'm open, give me the ball. If you don't have trust in your quarterback, you are going to have times where, yeah, he's going to throw the ball to you, and you're not going to be ready to catch that ball. Now, I still need Cedric Tillman to run the right route all the time. I don't think he's out of the woods. But damn, like, how could you not see that and see how different it was with David Njoku as well? We didn't even mention him. These wide receivers, it was a different type of display. And Baltimore is terrible against the pass. They've been that way all year. All right, fine. This week will be another test. They're going to line up. They're going to try to run the ball. And they're going to try to play defense with the LA Chargers. That's going to be their calling card. That's a Jim Harbaugh type team. And we'll find out whether or not this was a one-week flash-in-the-pan thing, or this is something that, hey, they won, and now maybe we can be a little bit more sustainable here.
Mm-hmm. So, overall,
I think Jameis made the wide receiver core better, is the gist of all
that. That was kind of my feeling, too. I will say, to play devil's advocate,
please,
the film gurus all year have said that Judy's been open, Elijah Moore's been open, that these guys have been open, and Deshaun's just been missing them.
Shouldn't they have made him a little bit better, though? So if they had bad wide receivers, he would have found a way to be even worse than what he was?
Yeah, that's what I want. How could you? How could you be any worse? But we did know. Like, I did kind of poke fun at this, that it seems like the last 15 wide receivers the Browns have gotten, one way, shape, or form, great route runner. I'm like, how many great route runners are there in the NFL then? Is the NFL populated by 98% great route runners?
A lot of them.
Is great just a catch-all? Like, do we actually have variations of great? Like, it's just become such a catch-all phrase.
I think a route runner is a guy, like, I've had people teach me
is
this.
Is it not that hard to run routes?
Well, no.
If we call them all great?
With wide receivers, like, I told you, I accuse Andrew Berry of having one, but I'm not a person who's in power. He is. I've had a blind spot for wide receivers last offseason. I told you. I went and I talked to some people and I asked them point blank. I go, what is it? What is it that makes a wide receiver? What makes a quote-unquote route runner? Being able to diagnose a defense while you're lining up. You know, seeing what a coverage is while you're lining up and understanding a relationship with a quarterback that you're going to change your route here because of how they're lined up defensively and how you can still get open, how you could still get a first down here. You know, these are things that we don't realize here because we're not wide receivers and we don't pay that close of attention to them. I don't pay as close of attention to them as I do offensive and defensive lines and defensive ends and quarterbacks for that matter. I don't. And so there's been a little bit of a blind spot there. But I think that's what people are talking about. If they talk about Jerry Jeudy or Elijah Moore, or Sed Tillman, even though he's not a great route runner, I think that's what they're talking about there. 216-474-0092. Is there even a conversation about who made who better? Do you believe that the wide receivers made Jameis Winston better? You're going to have to explain that to me.